A satellite view of the blue planet Earth at dusk, the dazzling contours of its landmass visible from space. Monumental metallic letters spelling the word Universal encircle the globe and settle in front of it. Beneath it in smaller letters, a Comcast company. A series of production company and studio logos. Zurich Avenue, Invention Studios, Bandwagon. Universal Pictures presents. A bearded and floppy-haired man in his 20s is stood next to a much older white-haired woman sat at a computer.
Now how do I...
How do you what?
I need the, where is it?
Where's the what?
Yeah, this thing has gone nuts. I don't know, I can't, shit, I give.
What are you looking for?
Bobby's email.
Scroll down.
I'm scrolling.
No, you're not scrolling. Look.
Oh.
Look, this is scrolling.
Okay. No, wait.
What?
Stop fussing with it. What's this?
It's an ad for Neiman Marcus.
Get rid of it.
You don't have to trash it. Get just in your inbox.
Oh, well, who needs it? What's an inbox?
It's where all your emails are stored. It's like a big folder on your computer with all the emails.
What's a computer?
This is a computer.
I know this is a computer, but what is it really? How does it function?
Let's come back to that.
They both smile at the screen.
Yes, there. Yeah. There, that's it.
As they listen, their faces are reflected in a picture of a bald man smiling, which is on the desk. With a smile, the woman takes the young man's hand. The title appears in cross-stitch. Thelma. Watching TV.
Pretty fast.
Very fast.
Is that a stuntman?
No, that's the whole thing. He does it all himself.
Wow.
That's Cruise.
Terrific. You got big plans tonight?
Yeah, just dinging around.
You spoken to Allie?
We're still on a break. I'm just, you know, trying to give her a little space, and I'm just not really sure what my selling points are at the moment.
Oh, well, you're a wonderful grandson. You know computers. You have your hair.
I think it's going to start to go early.
Well, you can't get hung up on that.
No. We're just in different places as people, you know? She thinks I'm stuck.
You're too young to be stuck.
Well, I don't feel young.
Well, I don't feel old.
Oy.
Oy is right. You're going to land on your feet like Cruz. Who is it they say lands on their feet?
And cats.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess in a way it could be about both.
Mm. Do you want this? It's a marble. I got a ton of these.
Sure.
How about some pretzels? I got a ton of pretzels.
You don't need them.
No, I can't chew them.
What, could you please just wear this when I go?
I'm fine.
I know you are. You probably won't need it, but I'll just feel better if you wear it, okay?
What's the point? If I fall, I'm toast. That's why I don't fall.
Don't say that, please. For my mental health?
Okay. For my guardian angel.
Thank you. It's just a, you know, precautionary measure.
Mm.
What's your plan for the day?
The usual.
Thelma lets him put on an alarmed wristband. Later, she sorts a weekly pill container. She works on a cross-stitch pattern while watching the news. Later, watching a video sent via email.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Oh, come on.
She struggles with the mouse and eventually clicks on a box to add her comment. Later, she walks stiffly across a hallway and watches coffee pour into a mug. Scratching at her arm, she removes her alarmed bracelet. Back at her computer, she types, "Wonderful, thank you for sharing." She has spelt sharing incorrectly. Leaving the message unsent, she uses mini bike pedals in her bedroom. Later, as she scrolls on social media, she accidentally takes a picture. Back at her computer, she has corrected her spelling of sharing, but has misspelled a different word. She sends the message anyway.
"Hi, Ethel. Ben here. Looks like I missed you again. I just got my scooter back from the shop. She's running smooth. I'm around this week if you want to pop by for lunch. You know, I read a terrific article about mangoes, and I thought you might enjoy. They seem to have many wonderful..."
Message deleted.
Now at night, she plays Mahjong on the computer, the screen illuminating her face. Stood in the bathroom, she takes out a hearing aid. She places it in a small case on the counter and takes out the remaining hearing aid. She looks in the mirror, her expression soft and peaceful. The next day, a silver pocket watch sits on a table. Sat on the couch, Thelma places down her cross stitch. Before answering, she adjusts the settings on her phone.
Hearing aid connected.
"Grandma!"
"Hello?"
"Grandma, it's me. Can you hear me?"
"Danny?"
"I got into an accident."
"What are you saying? You got into an accident. What happened?"
"I'm in jail."
"You're in jail? Oh, my God!"
"I had a woman... She was pregnant, and I don't know what's happening, but they're holding me here."
"But you sound so strange. Do you have a cold?"
"I have a broken nose. The airbag went off. Okay, you're gonna get a call. It's a defense attorney."
"Okay.
He's gonna bail me off, but you need to send him the money. I'm so sorry. I can't believe this happened. He's gonna call you."
"No. They're calling now.
That's him. Pick it up."
"Hello, Miss Post?"
"Yes, this is Thelma Post. My grandson, Danny Markowitz, was involved in an accident of some kind. He has a broken
Can
nose."
"Can you confirm his full legal name?"
"Daniel Markowitz. Daniel Alexander Markowitz."
"Okay, yes. I'm looking at his file right now."
What do you need?
I'm going to need you to mail $10,000 to this address."
$10,000? Well, my God.
"Can you drive to the post office?"
No, I don't drive anymore. I don't have a car."
"Well, how about a cab? And remember, it has to be cash. We don't want him sitting there any longer than he has to. I'm going to give you the mailing address."
"Okay."
"Are you ready?"
"Yes."
Thelma writes down the address and rushes round her house, pulling envelopes of cash from a bookshelf, under her mattress, and a small box. The collected money in a large manila envelope, she makes a call.
"You noticed a change on the Zillow?"
A middle-aged woman with a bob of brown hair listens to someone, her phone buzzing on the desk behind her.
"So, I don't know, but this one has been good every time I've gone to them. This time I'm asking for sea kayaks. This place is like 7 miles from the ocean, but I don't know."
Thelma gets in a cab. Elsewhere, a middle-aged man who is in a meeting doesn't notice his vibrating phone. Near the end of a long post office line, Thelma spots a blue package drop box. Viewed from inside of it, she opens the hatch. At the same time, the brown-haired woman notices several missed calls from Thelma, her mother. She listens to a voicemail.
"Damn! Something has happened!
Mom, wait, slow down. Who did you talk to?"
"Daniel. Oh, Gail, he was so upset. He was so upset.
Okay, I'm calling him right now."
my God.
I'm coming in the house, then.
Thelma washes her hands in a public restroom, and her daughter Gail rushes to her car, her son Daniel's home phone ringing.
Oh, my God. Mom, Ellen is calling.
What?
Ellen is calling. I'll call you back.
What's going on?
My mother got a call from Daniel. And apparently he's in jail. Someone broke his nose.
Who told her that?
She spoke to him. She spoke to Daniel. And then I tried calling him and I can't get him.
And he's not picking up his phone?
No. I'm gonna try him again.
Okay. I'm getting in the car.
Let me know what you hear.
A bleary-eyed Daniel finally picks up his cell phone.
Hello.
And he was going on and on about how you hit someone, and it was worse than you think, and she was pregnant, and...
I hit a pregnant woman? Like, I struck her with my fist?
Oh, no, it was a car accident.
Yeah, this is all happening inside of the car.
Oh, okay, but that makes more sense.
Well, what are you talking about?
No, I misunderstood.
Why were you picking up your phone?
I was asleep.
At 10:30? I called you at 10:30, and then...
Yeah, but I went out last night with some friends.
You didn't drive, did you?
Did you get drunk? You know, alcohol is a major depressant. Wendy Horowitz's son is completely hooked on Don Julio.
Don Julio.
He's can't hold a job. He's in and out of rehabs. He's has no sense of agency.
He vapes.
He's completely lost and he may never find himself. Are you paying attention?
Yes, I understand.
Do you?
It's an issue.
Mom, did you really think it was Daniel? And how did you think this was real?
Mom, you thought it was real, too.
Well, she was very convincing.
Well, she was scared, your mother. We were all scared.
Yeah. I wasn't quite as scared, just for the record.
Well, see what happens when you get a call, buddy.
I wouldn't be fooled. My mind is sharp as a tack.
What?
I said I wouldn't be fooled. My mind is sharp as a tack.
What's he say?
He's making a joke.
You want to try it again?
What's the joke,
never
Alan?
Never mind.
A joke.
Never mind.
Well, it was a close call, but it's over now.
Everything's okay.
I am so embarrassed.
No.
You're home, you're safe, it's all that matters.
But I sent the money.
Oh.
Thelma sat in the front. Daniel stares ahead as he drives.
They're speeding, Daddy.
We could report a tracking number if it's with Western Union, FedEx, UPS. With the latter, our only real option is to contact the Postal Service, and with these types of things, the odds are slim, especially without the address.
I think I have it here.
That's such a mean thing to do. It's just
sick. Is there anything that can be done, a database of some kind?
We have no moral center as a society. This is a systemic issue.
Yeah? I don't have it.
If it's any comfort, these kinds of scams are increasingly common.
Well, how do they know who I am?
They contact people at random using telephone listings and social networking sites.
Like Facebook?
Sure, by Facebook.
Well, how can Zuckerberg let this happen?
Sorry?
Shouldn't Zuckerberg be able to fix this?
Are you on Facebook?
Am I?
No, you're not. She's not. This was a tangent.
I would suggest canceling your cards and freezing your accounts until you're sure you didn't provide any information that can leave the door open to more fraud. Beyond that, there's not much we can do at this point.
The police officer shrugs.
Sorry.
No, you're not.
Later, Thelma's bank card is cut up.
Do you want a blanket? Or water or anything?
Yeah. I'll just close my eyes for a minute.
Thelma closes her eyes.
She gets confused. Now may be the time where we really consider whether or not living alone is the best option.
You think we're there?
We're considering it.
I lost my wallet last week. I don't think that was a sign of my mind deteriorating.
Well, that's a lack of presence, sweetheart.
Did you order a replacement license?
Yeah, I did.
Good, because you don't want to be driving without that. You could end up in a database.
Why are you obsessed with databases all of a sudden?
You want to end up in one.
Okay, well, I just think that this can be handled. Maybe I can handle it.
Tell you this, Susan's mother fell into a fire pit, completely died.
What? Why are we talking about this?
Well, because things happen to people as they age. Weird, crazy things like that.
Was it on?
I didn't ask. I assumed it was.
This wouldn't have happened a year ago. She's not as self-reliant as she was.
We can't just keep doing what we're doing.
Concerned about the discussion, Thelma sits up and takes out her hearing aids and straightens items on her coffee table.
You sure I can't stay over?
Oh, no, no, no. I've got things to do.
Daniel puts his grandmother's emergency wristband on her.
For my mental health.
She gives him a weak smile, and they hug. She watches him go. Later, she sat at the kitchen table.
Oh, Teddy. I made a mistake.
A photo of her late husband, Teddy, on the fridge. She wrings her hands. The next day, Thelma is sat in her large living room. On the mantelpiece is a framed picture of herself, smiling to the camera in her 30s. Leaning forward, she picks up a newspaper with a picture of Tom Cruise on it. As she reads the headline, Mission Impossible, she smiles to herself and gives a look of determination. She laces on purple sneakers and slips on a blue jacket with delicate flowers printed on it. Hearing aids in place, she slips a bottle of water and a snack bag in her purse and reluctantly chucks the emergency wristband in it. Brushing past a large parlor palm in the hallway, she heads outside and down her apartment's stone steps. Her burgundy purse hanging across her chest, she strides down a street wearing sunglasses, her hips clearly showing their age with a stiff gait. She speaks to a woman.
Hi.
Hello.
Do we know each other?
Not sure.
You look so familiar. Do you know Judy? Judy Miller?
I don't think so. Do you know Ellen? Ellen Marcus?
No, I don't think so. Well, have a nice day.
Bye now.
Back in the public restroom near the post office, she hunts through the full garbage can near the sink. She smiles broadly as she holds up the discarded address that she accidentally threw away the day before. Sat on his small single bed, a message pops up on Daniel's computer screen from a group chat with his parents. His mom detailing a potential job in a dental practice, and his father relaying that office experience is valuable.
Home.
I found the address.
What? What address?
From the scam. It was this tiny slip of paper. You'll never guess where I found it.
Mom, I'm sorry. It's going in and out. I can't hear you that well.
In the bathroom at the post office.
Wait, you went to the post office?
Yeah.
Well, how did you get there?
Well, I walked.
Grandma, that's far. You should not have done that.
Well, it's a few blocks.
You can't... You need to tell me if you're gonna go somewhere so then I can take you, okay?
What?
You should not have gone that far on your own.
But I found it. I have it here.
I know. Maybe it's better to just pause. For now, and we can figure it out together, okay?
What about my money? Am I supposed to just let them have it?
Well, but the odds of getting it back are pretty slim, right? I mean, the most important thing is that you don't overdo it, that you're safe.
I'm sorry about the money, but it could have been a lot worse.
Are you okay? You're at home now?
Yeah, I'm at home.
Oh, great. Do you need to go anywhere? Just tell me. I can take you.
Okay, darling. Appreciate that. Speak soon.
Love you.
Thelma opens out the piece of paper with the address.
Cynthia, I'm afraid I need a bit of a favor. It's an odd situation. Oh, Sarah. I thought you were Cynthia. She did? How awful. Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry. No, never mind. Forget I called. All is well. Hello, is Harvin there? But what happened? Oh, a stroke. Oh, I am so sorry, Joan. A heart attack? Sepsis? He moved to Cleveland? When did this happen? Oh, God, I called Cynthia again. Sarah, it was a mistake. I know she's dead. Thank you.
Her phone calls all going through her hearing aids. Thelma's expression is one of frustration. She spots a man passing by on a mobility scooter. She smiles and dials her phone again.
Danny, I need a ride.
Just to get this out of the way up top, you were not at home.
Riding in a car.
All my friends are dead.
What? Don't say that.
Well, it's true. They're all popping off. I used to be in 4 lunch groups. Who's left? Judith? She can't hear anything. And she's a hunchback now. I wouldn't want to have lunch with her alone. Herman's in Canada. Mona doesn't leave the house. I could ask Lee Horner to join us, but I don't have her number. And Ruth burned up in a fire pit.
I heard that. I'm sorry.
I didn't expect to get so old.
Well, I'm glad you did. Who do you know here again?
You remember Ben Halpern. He was married to Cheryl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys used to see each other all the time.
I always found him, soft.
Soft?
I don't know, fussy.
Oh.
Cheryl's dead, too. She fell down some stairs in their house. She was there for hours before they found her, poor thing.
I remember.
This car is filthy.
I'm taking good care of it. I'm gonna clean it.
Oh, you don't clean it. Who raised you?
Your daughter.
This is your father's influence. There are coins all over the floor. They fall out of his pockets because he's got no waste. Every time I ride with him, I make $5.
Danny pulls the Hunter Green vintage Mercedes station wagon up to a retirement home.
Want me to come in?
Oh, I'm just saying hello. I won't be long. 30 minutes.
If you need anything, I'll be here.
Yeah, okay.
He sets a timer on his phone. Thelma stands at the top of a walkway leading into the single-level retirement home, the sun shining down through tall trees overhead. She looks around uncertainly and heads inside. She passes several open doors, one resident knitting, one in bed, and a third reading a book. She walks into a large hall, about a dozen residents sat at scattered tables watching a woman dance on a small stage. She walks around eyeing the spectators. She stops near the stage and gazes awestruck, her mouth dropped open at the woman dancing. Her movements fluid and easy, Thelma's expression changes to one of annoyance, her lips pressed together. She approaches a different room.
Then you'll go to the Roxy. And then an ice cream soda at Rumpelmeyer's. And then a handsome cab ride around Central Park.
Gloria, that's your cue.
Oh, all right. And what do I say?
Golly.
All right. Okay. You know... Golly.
Just golly. Just the line.
I did, didn't I? Yes.
Not quite.
We went through that. And I said,
why don't we go back to Hansom Cab and then grab golly.
It is good to see you, though. You look terrific.
I'm a balloon. Well, what's with this? Are you doing a play?
Yes. Annie, I got Daddy Warbucks.
Well, that's a big role.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I thought I'd be part of the chorus or maybe Mr. Bundles. We open tonight, but Miss Hannigan, she's senile. And we got a lady playing Roosevelt because there's never enough boys. And Gloria, that's Annie. She's a total amateur. I'm going to have to bring a lot of pizzazz. You know, I think about Teddy often. What a special guy. How long has it been? 2 years now?
Just about two.
Yeah, five for my Cheryl. It feels like a dream.
Ben eyes Thelma.
How are you holding up?
Let's not be maudlin. You're going to show me your place?
Oh, sure. Come on. TV? Window? Plants? Do you mind?
Hand sanitizer.
Infection starts from the hands. Director's trying to get me to touch Gloria in that scene where I adopt her, but I'm not going to do it. It's not worth it. If it makes it worse, so be it. It's not like we're being reviewed. Oh, this is Gary. We call him Stary Gary. It's not an insult. It's just something that happens. I don't think he minds. Everybody does it, not just me. Everybody calls him that. Isn't she a beauty? Three reels, 43 miles per charge, bright red so you can see me coming. And a little basket for whatever you need. I like to put bread in there. Not a whole bread, but little pieces.
You put them in loose?
No. In bags, Ziploc.
You think I could borrow it?
Borrow my scooter?
Well, I'm in a bit of a situation.
What?
I'm in a bit of a situation. It's a headache. The less you know, the better.
Well, if it involves my scooter, it involves me.
I don't want to say in front of Gary.
Gary, can you give us a second?
Is he going to listen?
I'm not sure, but he's going to watch.
Have you got a telephone?
Yes.
Thelma adjusts her phone and she and Ben swap phones.
Microphone enabled.
She speaks into his.
Hearing aid connected.
I got scammed. But I have the address where I sent the money. It's a P.O. box in Van Nuys. 1534 San Fernando Road. I'm on my way there now. I'm going to try to figure out who took it and get it back.
He speaks into hers.
What are you, nuts? That's absurd. You gotta tell the police.
Oh, they're no use.
What about your family?
Not with this.
It's a bad idea.
But you have a better one.
You're not thinking straight. You're grieving. At least you have your health. Be grateful for that.
Ben's roommate stares between the pair, his eyes blank. Her mouth set in a line and looking disappointed, Thelma switches off the microphone. Back in the car, Danny scrolls on social media, stopping on a picture of a pretty young woman. He checks the timer.
Listen, why don't you stay for lunch? We have a beautiful cafeteria and wonderful melons. Fresh.
Sure. Do you think I could try it out? I may be in the market for one. I love driving. I miss it.
Nice and easy.
With a smile, Thelma drives down the wide hallway, Ben watching with mild trepidation as she turns a corner. Huge smile on her face, Thelma races down a hallway, swerving to avoid a man on a walker. Ben tries to catch up with her.
Winston, can I borrow your scooter? Winston! I'm taking it.
Ben hops on a different scooter and speeds down the hallway. Winston!
Are you talking to me?
As Thelma rounds a corner, Ben appears at the opposite end of the hallway.
Thel!
Son of a bitch.
Stay there, I'm coming to you.
Thelma looks behind herself, but the hallway's blocked by two people. Ben headed straight at her. Thelma twists the throttle hard and heads for him.
Damn. What?
Her expression fresh and calm, she pushes Ben backwards on the borrowed scooter and back round a corner. She hurries away on Ben's scooter.
Dang it!
Winston's scooter has stopped working. Thelma stops, gets off, and hits a large button opening a set of doors. With a smile, she climbs back on the scooter, and Ben calls from behind her as the doors begin to close.
Thelma!
Spotting Ben, Thelma grips the handlebars. A woman outside happens to activate the doors, and Thelma races through them and past her. The three-wheeled scooter tips onto two wheels as she takes a turn at speed, and she descends a ramp near to where Danny is parked. Danny checks his timer. There's less than 1 minute left. Ben steps in front of her.
Let's just talk.
Everybody wants to talk. My God, I just needed your scooter. Please be a doll and don't make a fuss. My grandson's parked a block away. I don't have much time.
You left your grandson in the car?
Well, he's 24. Please don't make me go through you, Ben.
Oh, you couldn't. I got a titanium hip.
Well, shall we put that to the test? I'm going with or without you.
I'm not going to let you go alone. I won't.
She purses her lips. Danny grabs his phone and heads into the retirement home.
Hi, I'm looking for my grandma. Thelma Post, white hair, a little wobbly, very determined.
Okay.
She doesn't live here, but she was visiting a friend. She would have come in like 30 minutes ago.
Huh, so I'm not seeing her here.
Okay.
But...
he searches a hallway.
Grandma?
Hello?
Oh, no, sorry. I'm just looking for my grandma. Sorry. Hi there.
You took my scooter?
What? No.
You sound like the man who took my scooter.
I didn't take... I promise I know. I'm looking.
You're getting me nervous. You're getting me nervous.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to go.
Yeah, go.
Good luck.
What do you mean, good luck? If you took my scooter, don't tell me good luck.
Do you know Ben? Halpern, I believe?
Ben's roommate simply points.
Mom, we may have a little situation here. No, I'm fine. No, I'm not in jail. No, it's Grandma.
Ben sat behind her. The pair drives at speed along a sidewalk.
I've got to be back by 8. It's opening night and I don't want to miss it.
I got it.
They carry on. Various stores on either side of the road, which is lined with palm trees.
I checked every room. She's not answering her phone, but she should have her lifeline on.
So has she ever wandered off before?
Never. Not like this.
One time I thought I lost her at Soup Plantation, but she was just going back for little pizzas.
Soup Plantation?
It was a buffet restaurant. You could go back for more.
I can't believe it was actually called Soup Plantation. I never processed that.
Oh, wow.
Well, it had things she could chew.
She can't chew anything.
She can chew some things, Alan.
It's like, it's confusing, you know, what she can and can't chew. Like, she can't have a salad, but she can... like, last week, she ate a cashew.
So she hasn't wandered off before except to a salad bar by choice?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't want to alarm you guys, but one of our residents is missing.
Oh.
Yeah. Ben Halpern?
Oh, Ben.
Are the two of them involved?
No. No. They're not even... she doesn't even really like him all that much.
Oh, so is there bad blood?
What are you insinuating?
Nothing.
No, not like that.
We're just trying to understand.
You know he has a show tonight.
How would we know that?
Would this his family? Have you notified his family that he's missing?
He doesn't have any family.
So, no.
Aw. Well, what can we be doing here? Can you guys send out some kind of senior alert?
Silver alert?
A silver alert.
No.
We are not authorized to do that. The police have to declare her a missing person.
But she is a missing person.
Don't you have somebody on the
We
doors?
Don't know where she is.
It's only been an hour, right?
Right. It hasn't been... that long?
Yeah, curtain's not until 8.
What's the show?
You're still talking about the show?
Annie.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, does Thelma have any specific medical conditions that we should know about?
She's had breast cancer, double mastectomy, sepsis, edema, valve replacement, hip replacement, arrhythmia, brain tumor.
I think she actually has a brain tumor right now. Yeah. The doctor said it was growing slowly, so they could just leave it in there.
She has a brain tumor. So all of that and a brain tumor at the moment.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for telling us all of that.
And she had the TGA, right?
TGA?
Transient global amnesia.
Yeah, it was about a year ago, and she got very disoriented. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know who we were. It lasted only just about an hour. But it was unsettling.
But she's a tough cookie. Obviously, we want help finding her. It's just, it might still be a, you know, going back to the buffet type of situation, I think.
Well, the good news is they rarely go far.
An aerial view of a sprawling city with overlapping freeways. Thelma and Ben a mere dot moving along the sidewalk below. They cross busy streets and continue on, Thelma's hands securely on the hand grips and the sun shining down on them.
Thel, why does this street look so familiar to me?
We're stopping at Mona's.
Oh, I haven't seen Mona since Berlin.
That was a fun trip, wasn't it? What year was it? 95?
98, I think. It was a bumpy flight, but otherwise it was terrific. You know, Mona is obsessed with me. We never acted on it, but she would always stare at my legs whenever I had short pants on.
Whatever you say, buddy. Now, if you're right, maybe we could use it.
Why are we stopping at Mona's?
To get a gun.
Oh, my God. What do we need a gun for?
It's just a precaution. A couple of schmagegis like us turning up unannounced. I like to be prepared.
Do you even know how to use it?
Well, how hard can it be? Idiots use them all the time. You're going to have to distract her. She's still sharp. This is not going to be so easy.
Maybe I could do my monologue.
I'd rather you didn't.
Ben's smile vanishes. Thelma stops in front of a two-story house with a large porch. They let themselves in and approach a woman with short white hair and extremely wrinkled skin who is sat staring at a TV on which two hummingbirds hover near a flower.
Mona?
Thel, darling, did we make a date?
Oh, no, no, no. We were in the neighborhood.
I would have put shoes on.
Ben's here, too.
Good to see you, doll.
Are you all right?
Fine, fine.
Nodding, she turns off the TV.
Oh, sit, dear. Don't clean.
Okay.
Is it a roach?
Oh, you got bugs?
I've been hunting them. Can't seem to knock them off.
Oh, they're resilient.
That's why they make worthy adversaries. You get one, there are 10 more to replace him. I've learned to pick my battles.
So, how are you? How's your health?
I'm alive.
Oh, isn't that something?
I gotta use the bathroom.
Oh, good, dear.
We were just talking about Berlin.
Thelma carefully makes her way upstairs. Seen looking down to her, she gazes up through the winding staircase. She uses the railing to help pull herself up.
We stayed at that wonderful hotel. The Kimsky?
Did we take a trip?
That was a long time ago.
Oh!
She steadies herself with the banister.
I'm over Delwood now. They have the most wonderful melons.
Thelma walks into Mona's bedroom. There is a small double bed with a golden metal bed frame, a delicate flower pattern on the wallpaper, and a large freestanding wooden closet next to the bed. Thelma makes her way to a low chest of drawers and picks up a frame that has been laid on its front. She gazes at a picture of their group of friends and places the frame upright on the chest. Turning, she looks from a stack of boxes on the freestanding closet to the bed. She sits on the bed and bounces her way to lying down on it.
Cantaloupe. Honeydew. Jade dews. Berries.
Berries?
Yeah, all kinds of berries. Raspberries. Blueberries.
Mona stares politely at Ben as he rambles. Upstairs, Thelma is stood on the bed next to the closet. She reaches into a wooden box and pulls out a gun.
Blackberries. Cherries.
Back lying down, Thelma rolls her way to the edge of the bed and sits up, the handgun held gingerly by the handle between two fingers. Spotting a cockroach, she drops the gun.
Elderberries.
The fired bullet pierces a vase in the room below, and Thelma puts the gun in her purse.
Annie, get your goddamn hound out of my pool.
Mona stares at Ben with a polite smile.
Sal, did we make a day?
No, I was just in the neighborhood.
I would have put my shoes on.
Thelma and Ben eye each other.
Well, I think it's time we were on our way.
You're leaving?
I know. We'll have to get a lunch on the books.
I'd like that.
Can we get you anything?
I've got everything I need.
Mona smiles and Ben leans against her recliner.
Goodbye, doll.
Mona mouths goodbye, and Ben and Thelma leave, Ben giving Mona a fleeting backward glance. Mona switches on her TV and stares contentedly as an iridescent blue kingfisher flies off a branch. Dappled sunlight shining on them through trees, Thelma and Ben drive away on the scooter, their reflections visible in the sidewalk.
She needs a charge.
Oh. I need to get IDs from everyone.
Sure. Here.
Alan.
Thank you.
Back at Bellwood Village, Danny pats his pockets.
Can't find your wallet?
I have it. I just not seen my ID.
Looking, you're just patting.
Oh, yeah.
Let me help.
You didn't order a replacement license?
No, I didn't.
Don't lie.
What's in there?
Just tell us you didn't. I'd rather know than be lied to.
I haven't, yet.
Why would you keep this from us?
Because...
Why would you keep this from us?
Daniel, it's really bad.
But I'm gonna do it.
You can't drive without a license. You can't drive without a license.
I mean, he could, but he shouldn't.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
You have to take care of your vehicle, Daniel. Do you understand?
I understand.
These are the basics of adult life.
Dad, please don't embarrass me in front of Colin and Rochelle.
We can give you guys a second.
As the two retirement home staff walk away, Gail flops onto a sofa. Danny sits next to her.
Alan was very good for you in that way. He was very organized, left-brained, a grounding force.
Can we please not talk about Allie?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I know, it's hard. Just to see you suffer like this. It makes me want to cry.
What?
Oh, I do. It makes you very sad.
It's okay.
I have to cry.
Okay.
I just need to get it out. Do you want us to sit with you and to get a replacement license?
I can handle it. Let's just deal with one family crisis at a time, okay?
Charging the scooter at a gas station, Thelma scrolls on social media.
I am to this. My cousin. Did you ever meet him?
No.
From Hinsdale. He's not doing so hot, but this is a beautiful picture.
She shouldn't be living like that.
She's managing.
How is she getting her meals? When is the last time she got out of that chair? She's wasting away.
We all have our good days and our bad days.
And what's today?
We'll find out.
She accidentally takes a photo.
Gary's going to wonder where I am.
What's with you? Do you miss that place?
I like that place.
What's to like?
I swim twice a week. There's wonderful classes, cooking classes, painting classes. Oopsie-upsie. That's when a professional comes in and shows us how to pick each other up after we fall. There's a tub lift, a shower lift, and a dual lift for when a couple falls.
Does that happen often?
Not often, but it happens. Usually on a hill. You have to use each other's weight as a counterbalance.
Sounds interesting.
Sat behind Thelma, Ben leans forward.
Cheryl used to cook, pick up our socks, keep the place together. I'll take help where I can get it. I'm not ashamed.
It's not the same.
Why?
I always picked up the socks.
Ben sits back and Thelma continues to scroll. Danny is laid back, scrolling on his social media.
She posted.
What? She posted something?
I think it.
No.
Yeah, 5 minutes. By accident, I think 5 minutes
ago.
Oh,
my God.
Look,
Let's see. Do you recognize anything?
Get bigger. Zoom in. Can you enhance it?
Enhancing?
I see gas pumps, a blue car, a pigeon. No, two pigeons.
Tahunga.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't there a gas station?
Moore Park.
Yes!
Tahunga. Moore Park and Tahunga.
And we're going. We're going.
Rochelle turns and spots the family is gone.
Ah, damn.
Danny is sat in the back seat.
Come on. We got to move.
Way says 12 minutes by Chandler and Colfax.
Look at that. I mean, who created that? Who thought it up? A plug for a car. Electricity goes through, makes it run. But what is electricity? It boggles the mind. Well, I think I know her.
You can go a little faster.
Yes, thank you, God, please.
I'm going the speed limit. We are a law-abiding family.
Gail gives Alan side-eye as he buckles his seatbelt.
Huh. Wants me to make a left.
This is why I don't use Waze. I want you to make all these crazy turns. Marcy Winter's husband was obsessed with Waze, makes a psycho left, ends up in Vaughn's.
Estimates are very accurate,
Thousands
Gail.
Thousands of dollars. No, they're
it's
not.
It's been proven.
You know, by Friedlander.
Maybe through Saul.
Saul?
Gary's kid. Gary Newman.
No, I don't know them.
Did you go to Sinai?
No, we were Beth Om. You just look so terribly familiar to me.
You just have to ignore all your instincts and trust the technology.
Technology is what got us into this mess in the first place. Can you go back?
I can't go back.
Well, there's someone behind
us. I see them.
So go.
I can't go.
There's a gap.
There's a gap, Alan.
Take it.
We're back to 12 minutes.
Gary Newman.
Oh, no. My Gary is Roselle.
Isn't that interesting? Two different Garys, but both Gary.
How do you know each other?
I guess we don't.
It seemed possible, alas.
Have a lovely day.
As the pair walks back to the scooter, Thelma spots her family pulling up in the green Mercedes station wagon.
What?
Thelma pushes Ben down a walkway beside the gas station.
What happened?
It's my grandson!
Mom! Thelma!
Grandma!
Oh, it's them. Come on, get out.
They keep walking.
Thelma!
Thelma!
Have you seen a woman with white hair and a real lady?
Come on!
They come to a dead end with a large fence.
Oh, we can't make that.
Grandma!
What's that? Is that...
Grandma!
That is interesting. Oh. Thelma!
She throws the emergency bracelet over the fence.
Ah! Oh, shit!
What?
Her lifeline!
What is it? Do you have a location?
What's it say?
She's here! She's here!
Where? Oh!
Danny, staring down at a tracker on his phone, Gail and Alan follow. Danny picks up the wristband, located on the other side of the gas station. As Danny looks up from the wristband, Thelma and Ben speed away. The sun newly set, cars snake along a freeway.
We are crazy!
They drive along a road in an area filled with large warehouse-sized buildings. Back at the gas station,
could it have fallen off?
Not on its own.
Just to consider all our options, is it possible she had another TGA? Her behavior's erratic.
I mean,
it seems like it's within the realm of possibility. I'm gonna Google it just to.
I told her not to take it off.
Acute onset of anterograde
amnesia. I can't remember if it was on her wrist in the car.
She likes her independence from that thing. She just.
Sometimes she puts it in her bag. I can't.
Absence of signs indicating damage to a particular area.
I should have walked
of
her
the
in.
Brain.
It's in the past.
She sits with Danny and rubs his back.
Why didn't you?
She didn't want me to.
Duration of no more than 24 hours.
I don't know, Mom.
Don't yell.
I'm sorry. I'm upset.
Yeah, we're all upset. This is exactly what we have been trying to avoid. And now my mother is at large.
I can't do anything. I literally can't do anything. I'm such a little bitch.
Don't call yourself that. God.
I truly have no ability to do anything. I can't do anything with my hands.
What do you want to do with your hands?
I don't know nothing. I can't. I don't know facts. I have no qualifications for any jobs. I can't do math. It's basically why Ali and I aren't together.
Because you couldn't do math?
It's just
I thought she could do math.
It's just another thing that I can't do. I haven't done the idea because every time I go on the computer, I get all confused by stupid website and all the classifications and the terms.
Do you have visual, what's it?
Processing
issues.
Sure, or maybe I'm just a stupid little bitch who can't do
anything.
Don't
say bitch. Stop saying bitch.
I lost Grandma. Fuck!
Pumping his clenched fists in frustration, Danny walks away. He covers his face with his hands. Gail turns to Alan and hugs him. Night setting in, palm trees are barely visible along a narrow street, and a bold neon sign points to a store's door.
Think we're getting closer?
Thelma stops the scooter, the buildings around them seemingly industrial and vacant.
Thelma?
Hang on.
What is it?
I don't know where we are.
Oh, don't say that.
I thought we were heading north.
I'm gonna go find help.
Oh, no, Ben, give me a moment. Let me orient myself. Ben.
She walks after him.
Ben, don't make a scene.
You don't listen to me, Thel. You don't listen to anybody.
If I listened to you, I'd be your roommate by now. Go home, Ben. You don't want to be here.
We should call your family.
Out of the question.
What about your grandson?
No.
Why?
Because I'm not like you, Ben. As much as you may want me to be, I like to be useful.
We're more alike than you think.
What's that supposed to mean?
We're old. Diminished. We're a liability to the ones we love. You could tell yourself different, but you know that they're worried sick.
What's to worry about? I move from point to point. I don't complain. I am the same.
And you would be, too, if you stopped feeling sorry for yourself.
It doesn't work that way.
You start acting like a baby, people treat you like a baby.
Bullshit! You know how I know? Because I couldn't hear her when she fell.
Thelma looks down at the sidewalk.
We're not what we were.
He shrugs his shoulders.
We're the only ones left. The least we can do is take care of each other.
She stares at him.
Call your family.
Her expression hardens.
I don't need them. I don't need you. I just needed your scooter.
Turning, she spots the scooter has rolled back into the road. A car slams into it.
We were stopped.
Did you put the parking brake on?
I didn't know there was one. I didn't know. I'm sorry, Ben.
You're not sorry.
Ben, where are you going?
He flaps his arms in frustration.
I'm not waiting!
As Ben walks away, Thelma's concerned expression turns into one of determination, and she turns and walks in the opposite direction. Back at Bellwood Village, Alan and Gail are speaking to Danny.
We've all lost her before.
I've lost her at Gelson's a few times. The woman likes to keep moving.
Especially if she has that cart. When she sets her mind to something, there's no stopping her. She doesn't eat, she doesn't sleep. She just, like, keeps that laser focus until the task is done.
This is different than Gelson's.
Well, I'm aware it's different, but she's a grown woman who's a little faster than you would hope. And you can't be responsible for her every second of every day. We shouldn't have put that on you. It was too much.
I know that she's not going to live forever. But I just... when it happens, I want it to be not horrific. You know? Like good death.
There is no good death.
Gail eyes Alan with mild shock.
I'm going to take a walk.
Can we go with you?
I'll go with him.
I'm going to go with him.
No. I want to go alone. I just need a little space.
Where are you walking? Where are you going to go?
I don't know. Just...
Do you have your phone on you? Please don't keep it on silent.
No, here.
Can you do that for me?
Take this.
For my mental health?
I'm going to be close. It's fine.
It's fully charged.
Okay.
Let me just snap some here. There we go.
Have a nice walk. I love you.
I love you too.
Danny hurries away. Meanwhile, Thelma walks alone in the industrial area, overhead lamps illuminating her way and her gait stiffening. As Danny walks along a hallway, he spots residents in their rooms. A woman making her bed, and a man in a hospital gown is sat with his back to the door. Thelma stops and looks at a large locked-up building to her left. She spots a car parked several yards away with its turn signal flashing, near to a collection of electrical poles. She leaves the sidewalk and slowly makes her way over loose ground towards it, her stride even stiffer than before. Back at Bellwood, Danny spots a resident sleeping in a chair in their room. Thelma ups her pace. Thelma's foot catches on something and she faceplants into the ground. And Danny eyes an announcement board with a calendar and flyers on it. One reading, asking for help is a sign of strength. Thelma manages to roll onto her back. She touches her eye, which is sore.
Oh.
her face a grimace of pain. She can't stand up. The car she was headed towards drives away, and she tries to sit up again. Lifting her torso barely an inch above the ground, with a grimace of pain, she falls back onto her back. She pulls out her hearing aids and stares blankly at the sky. At Bellwood Village, Gail gently strokes the back of Alan's head. Danny is sat in a room, his eyes focused on the shadow cast by a Venetian blind on the ceiling. The blinds slowly melt away and are replaced by Thelma's view of a large electrical tower, cables, and a plane soaring overhead. 2 feet appear near to her head. Ben kneels down. He carefully lifts each of her knees, resting her feet on the ground. He lifts her left arm and rests her hand on her chest, slowly rolls her onto her side, onto her hands and knees, and helps her onto her feet. Now facing each other, they slowly crab walk to a bench on the sidewalk and sit. Her eye visibly bruised now, she puts her hearing aids back in and smiles over to Ben.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry about all of it. But we gave it a good try, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Thelma nods.
I lived with my parents till I was 23. Then I moved in with Teddy. And I lived with him until I was 91. I've lived just me for 2 years now. Gets lonely sometimes. And I miss Teddy. But I tried sushi and I like that quite a bit.
Ben stares intently at her.
I've enjoyed my time alone. I guess I wanted more of it.
His gaze softening, Ben takes in her words. A car's headlights illuminate their faces.
I think I know her. Lois?
Thelma! We just saw Swan Lake, and it was set during the Korean War. So the dancers were all dressed like soldiers. I don't know that I understood it, but it was beautifully staged. I think it was very political.
Sounds interesting.
It was, yes. So where can we take you?
Oh, just home. Ben, what's your address?
We're heading to 1534 San Fernando Road.
He eyes her.
Well, we've come this far. We might as well finish it.
What about your show?
There is no show. Without Daddy Warbucks.
Thelma smiles and rests her back on the seat. They pull up, partially onto a curb, near a parade of shops. One signed perfume shop, another mail shop. Lois's car pulls away. Thelma leads the way into the mail shop, spelt S-H-O-P-P-E, and they head to a wall of safety deposit boxes.
21.
What now?
We wait.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for picking up. Are you slanging those crunchy, crunchy tiki tacos?
Yeah, that's why they pay me the big bucks.
How's it going with you?
Okay. Bad, actually. My grandma's missing.
And I'm camped out at an old folks' home with my parents.
Wait, what? How?
She went to visit a friend, and then they went missing together.
It's been a couple hours so far. The whole thing is, I don't know.
They didn't sign out or anything, but I was supposed to watch her, so...
Okay, well, could she have just gone somewhere without telling you guys?
That's what we thought.
We thought it could be a soup plantation situation.
A what?
No, nothing. I mean, it's possible, I guess.
Well, I only asked because she's obsessed with errands, right? Well,
yeah, she has a healthy respect for errands.
Well, I know you really love her. I'm sure you're super worried, but maybe she's just doing something.
You know? On her own?
Yeah. I hope so.
Hey, I've also been wanting to call you. I was thinking about taking some classes.
Maybe an adult math class or, like, just brush up on some of those essentials.
What are you talking about?
Self-improvement.
I'm just saying I can learn to do more things, adding and subtracting, fractals. Like,
I can take the great leap from boy to man.
You're driving me nuts. Do you know that?
I do.
I do know that very much. Sorry, it's so freaking hot in here.
Okay, well,
go for a walk.
My folks asked me to stay close.
Well, if you ever take that great leap.
For what it's worth, I think you could make it.
Oh, my God.
What?
There's been a guy in here the whole time.
We used to call bread the staff of life. But now nobody wants to eat bread. But there are delicious breads being made now. It's a conundrum.
And some people like toast with toppings.
Interesting. The way we think about bread has changed, sir.
You want bread? We've got bread. There you go.
She takes some out of his Ziploc bag.
Oh. Mm. Oh, it's like a rock.
Go ahead and chew it.
Thelma's eyes goggle as she spots a young, dark-haired man striding into the store. They watch from outside as the man opens the safety deposit box. He throws away a bundle of mail.
Can you see him?
That's him.
The man locks it and strides out.
He's coming out.
Trying to look casual, Ben crosses his legs, and Thelma works on her cross stitch.
Oh, come on.
As the man passes, they get up, Ben helping Thelma onto her feet. The young man, likely in his 20s, walks at a slow pace, his mouth set in a line, his expression a bit depressed. Thelma and Ben follow and watch as the man strides into a lighting goods store. The pair stare in the front window, illuminated by dozens of hanging lamps.
You keep a lookout. I'm going to go in and try to talk to them. If things get funny, you go for help.
How will I know?
Well, you'll be with me.
She taps her hearing aid.
Microphone enabled.
They swap cell phones.
Hearing aid connected.
As she closes the door, she uses a hand to steady a lampshade.
Hello?
tell, I think I see a door in the back.
Turning back, she waves at Ben, who's eyeing her through the large front window. She slowly makes her way through the clutter of the shop.
Lamp down ahead. Lift those heels.
She carefully steps over a fallen floor lamp.
There's a stack of loose Hummels, or maybe they're gnomes, or some kind of little animals. Be careful.
Thelma carries on and pushes a set of three opaque head-sized hanging lamps out of her way.
Gets a little hairy up ahead.
Take your time.
She inches sideways along a narrow bit of clear floor.
What happened?
What are you doing?
It's a mess.
Don't clean.
Well, you have to with glass. It's not right.
Not now. Get your act together.
She stands upright and walks deeper into the shop, coming to a padded bench.
Easy. Easy.
She sits, lays back, and rolls off it.
Yes.
Well done. Well done, Del.
Okay, let's go.
Yes, sir. Hesitating is going to cost you. Yeah, quite a bit. No, there's going to be some unpleasantness ahead. I mean, we just don't want him sitting and holding any longer than he has to.
She parts beaded curtains. A silver-haired man with a nasal cannula stands.
Hi. May I help you? Who's that?
I'm Thelma. Thelma Post.
Huh.
You might recognize me from the telephone.
No, I can't say I do, ma'am. At this moment in time, we're closed, but why don't you come back tomorrow? I've got a shipment of, what do you call them? A woman inside a woman inside a woman.
Russian nesting dolls?
Yeah. Now, at least I think they're women. I mean, I haven't checked. There may be a little fella in there somewhere.
Where's my money?
The man looks to the young dark-haired man from before.
Sorry?
You heard me.
Yes, I heard you. Not sure I understood.
You called me. You pretended to be my grandson. You took advantage of me.
His mouth set in a frown, the man grabs hold of a large oxygen bottle on wheels that his nasal cannula is attached to and walks towards Thelma.
That's a hefty accusation. I think you've got the wrong idea.
Listen, buddy, I came a long way.
Well, you've made a mistake. That's okay. I make mistakes too. But let's not make another.
She pulls out her phone.
I'm contacting the authorities.
Both men stare at her phone, the younger from behind a large desktop computer.
What are you going to tell them? You broke into my store?
911, what's your emergency?
I'd like to report a robbery.
He slaps the phone out of her hands.
Thel. Thel, are you there?
I just want you to know that it's not personal. I mean, we're not selling like we used to. People these days, they don't care about old things. I'm just trying to keep the lights on.
We have a lot of lights. So it's very expensive.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I bet this whole thing has been a headache. Huh? Look, I don't expect you to leave here empty-handed. Why don't we make a deal, huh? I'll keep your deposit, but I'll cut you in on the next one. Yeah, I'm happy to negotiate. I'll give you the senior discount.
Well, that isn't going to work for me. And you should know, if I'm not out in 5 minutes, my partner calls the cops.
You want me to beg? Then I'll beg.
Dropping to his knees, he grabs her wrist.
Look, what do you want me to do? Give it back? I'll lose the store. I'll be out on the street. Nobody cares.
Michael stands.
Nobody cares about me. Everybody's buying their shit on Amazon. I just take what I need to survive. So why do you need it so bad?
Because it's mine. And I decide who gets it.
You're being unreasonable.
Michael, get my keys.
The man still gripping Thelma's wrist tightly, she looks around as the young man, Michael, rummages in a desk drawer.
How did I?
Thelma frees her wrist, her expression very confused.
I'm sorry. I don't recognize this one.
The man eyes Michael, who shrugs.
I need to call my husband.
Of course.
What's your name, dear?
I'm Harvey.
Harvey.
Yeah.
Harvey. Harvey.
Come on, sit down.
Harvey.
Real cool. Yeah.
Talk to me, Phil. What's going on?
Ben speaks into her phone and taps his hearing aid. Thelma sat in a chair.
I'm terribly sorry for the imposition.
Oh, please, it's all right. You know, happens to the best of us. The mind is a funny thing. Now, what's your husband's number? I'll get you home.
Harvey's eyes widen and he turns, a gun at his back.
My money, Harvey.
Michael!
Michael sprints out of the back room and through the shop, lamps shattering and sparking above his head. Ben spots him through the window. Cocking out his hip at the door, Ben manages to trip Michael over.
You were very convincing, Harvey. But you could have been an actor. Not a star, maybe, but even so, what a waste.
Do you know how to use that thing?
No.
Fuck! Jesus Christ! Okay.
Where is it?
In there.
Where?
It's being deposited into my account on the computer.
Well, get it out.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
Michael does the computers.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
Gun still pointing at him, Thelma inches the chair closer to the computer screen.
It's just me and you now.
And me.
Who the fuck is that?
My friend. Here. You take this. I need both hands.
What happened to Michael?
I beat him up.
Where's the mouse? There's the mouse. Come on, move.
Ben holding the gun, Thelma wiggles the mouse.
What? What is that? It's a shoe.
It looks like a shoe.
It's a shoe.
Ben, don't look at it. Look at him. What do I do with it? I'm going to exit.
No, don't do that.
Well, you don't know what it is.
She finds the tiny X in the top right corner and the shoe ad disappears. A different ad pops up.
That's a baby. Oh, God. I don't know how to do this.
Sat in Bellwood Village, Danny answers his phone.
Hello?
Danny?
Grandma! Oh, my God! Are you okay? Where are you?
I'll tell you, but you have to promise me something.
What?
Come alone.
Danny looks back at Ben's moot roommate, Gary, sat in the corner. An alert on Alan's phone.
Huh.
Wait.
His heart rate is slowing.
Put it closer.
Put it closer.
As Alan and Gail rush into the large common area with chairs and sofas, Gary lifts his arm, Danny's smartwatch on his wrist. Danny speeds away from the retirement home, his phone on speaker.
Tell me where you're looking at.
It's a family and a baby, and they're everywhere.
Great. Are there words?
No, it says Lincoln Mutual.
Yup, it's an app. You need to find the X.
Well, there's no red X.
No, but it's not always red. Sometimes they hide it. So look closer.
top right.
Ben points at the screen and then ensures the gun is still trained on Harvey.
I X'd it.
Great! Remember? The computer's the library, and the search bar's the library.
You're gonna ask it for information, and then it's gonna give it to you.
Where is the bank?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm asking the machine.
I can't hear you.
Is there a Sari or a Siri, or is she not in there?
She's not there. That's in your phone, but you don't need her.
I don't talk to her. She talks to me.
Concerned messages pop up on Danny's phone from his parents, and Thelma slowly types on the keyboard. Danny races along a busy road.
Valley Financial dot com.
Hit enter. Is he enter?
I'm in.
As Harvey lights a cigarette, a message from Danny's dad says, "I'm calling the cops." Laid out on the pavement, Michael blinks awake.
What's the password?
I don't know.
Look around you. Is there a notebook
or desk, papers, anything like that?
She pulls out a note.
Oh, my God.
What?
The password is password.
Classic.
Now click inside of that box and type that in.
That's cute.
Goddamn dumbass password, Michael.
Michael quietly works his way to the back room of the shop, and Danny drums on the steering wheel.
Come on!
I'm moving to transfer. Oh, God.
What?
It wants me to join a gym. I'm going to tell it no.
Good. Remember what we do?
The X, no matter the color.
That's right.
I'm in.
Yes.
Be ready in 5.
Okay, I'll be there soon.
She types in $10,000. She looks back at Harvey, who wipes his brow.
Jesus.
She alters the amount to $9,500 and pulls out a small piece of paper with her own bank details on them and enters them. She adjusts the cursor position with the mouse and hovers over a button labeled Transfer. As Michael rushes through the beaded curtains, Ben trains the gun on him. Harvey makes to move towards Thelma, and she pinches off his oxygen tube.
I assume it was you on the phone pretending to be Danny. He doesn't have the range. I'm not your grandma. But if I was, I'd tell you there comes a time when you can't listen to anyone but yourself.
Michael takes in her words. Thelma leans forward.
He called you a dumbass. He said it quietly, but I heard it.
Hurt in his eyes, Michael eyes his grandfather, who shifts his gaze to the floor. As Michael turns and leaves, Ben lowers the gun and Thelma releases the oxygen hose.
You're insane.
Thelma turns back to the computer and works the mouse. A message on the computer screen reads, "Your transfer has been initiated." Thelma smiles up at Ben.
Is that it?
That's it.
And you can't get it back?
She pushes herself to standing, pocketing the paper with her bank details, and takes the gun from Ben. She shoots the computer.
He can't get it back.
She hands Ben the gun and leans over Harvey.
Don't take people's money. Clean up your store. Be nicer to Michael. This whole thing has been really ridiculous. and don't smoke.
She pulls the cigarette from his hand and walks away, leaving Harvey frozen in shock. As they leave the store, Thelma drops the lit cigarette in a trash can with a discarded oxygen tank near the top. The oxygen can explodes.
What?
I didn't say anything. Huh?
The trash can on fire. They keep walking.
Get in!
Ben sat in the back. Danny eyes the road as he drives. His eyes flit over to his grandmother.
Did you get it?
We got it. Oh, Danny, you remember Ben.
Hey, Ben, it's really great to see you.
Good to see you, Danny. How you doing?
I'm all right, yeah.
Silver alerts come up on their phones.
Whoa. We're famous. Hello.
Back at Bellwood Village.
Today was a good day.
I hope you know I'm going to buy you a new scooter and a new phone.
Oh, well, maybe we can go out to lunch someday.
I'd like that. We could try the famous Bellwood cafeteria. I hear they have terrific melons.
Or we could go out.
Both good options. We'll make a plan, dear.
Good.
Ben gives her a big hug.
You be well.
I will.
Ben strides down a hallway, and Danny gives him a wave.
Break a leg, Ben.
Ben gives an incredulous look back at them before rounding a corner.
Does he know what that means?
I'm not sure. He's new to the theater, and his hip is titanium.
But he didn't say anything.
No, but he...
Has Daniel ever wandered off like this before?
Never. Not like this. Oh, my God, Mom!
As Gail hugs her mom tightly, she and Danny share a smile.
You drove?
I did.
You went back to the buffet?
I did.
What happened?
I'll tell you everything, but there's something I'd like to do first, if you would indulge me.
Of course!
I'm just Annie, Mr. Warbuck, sir. I'm sorry I'm not a boy.
It's her first night here, sir.
Well, Annie, how would you like to go to a movie? And then you could go to the Roxy. And then some ice cream soda at Rumpelmeyer's. And then a cab ride around Central Park.
A curtain opens up behind them, revealing a city backdrop.
Well. Yeah, wow. Golly. Golly, Daddy, Mr. Warbox.
It's a strange show.
Thelma exclaims to Gail, who tries to quiet her. Sometime later, a montage of the inside of Thelma's orderly house scrolls, including the TV room, a framed photo of her dead husband, Teddy, and her bedroom, its quilted blue blanket neatly laid out on the bed. Viewed from behind, Thelma is sat in her large living room, her shoulder-length silver hair neatly brushed. Later, his arm linked in hers, Danny and Thelma visit Teddy's grave, Thelma placing a small bouquet of flowers on it. They sit on a bench together, a soft afternoon light painting nearby trees a golden hue.
I'm glad to come here. These are good graves. Do you like them?
Yeah. As in what? Do I want to be buried in them?
I got a ton of graves.
Yeah?
Beautiful graves. Some here. Mostly back in New York. Does Allie plan on being buried in a Jewish cemetery?
Well, I don't know. You know, we haven't really had the graves conversation yet. Taking it slow.
Well, we may have enough.
Danny rubs his lips together awkwardly.
You get very greedy. You want to see what's going to happen to those you love.
He looks over to his grandmother.
I love you. And if you ever do die, I'm really, really, really going to miss you. And I know you know that. But I just, I wanted to say that while we're here.
Wherever I go, I'm not going to worry about you. You're going to be okay, Danny.
She gives him a nudge with her shoulder, and the pair grin at each other. Seen from behind, the sides of their bodies touch. Later in the car...
Look at the bottoms of those trees. I mean, look how gnarled they are, and yet they lived. Look.
I'm looking.
You should be taking photographs of this. Is this unbelievable?
It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Look at this. This thing is still alive.
What, this tree?
Yeah, look at it. It should be down on the ground. Well, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
What spirit?
Sometime later, Thelma uses a wheeled walker in her house, playfully pushing it away from herself and toddling over to it.
Airlines are expecting to make $10 billion in profit this year, despite fears of a looming economic slowdown around the world. This says the International Air Transport Association.
Sat working on cross-stitch in the TV room, she spots a large cockroach scurrying across the floor. Her eyes slowly follow its movement. She brings the newspaper with Tom Cruise's face on it down hard on the bug and drops it in the trash can. Smiling to herself, she carries on with her cross stitch. Written and directed by Josh Margolin. Produced by Zoe Wirth, Chris Kay. Produced by Nicholas Weinstock, Benjamin Simpson. Produced by Carl Sperry, Viviana Bizzani. Executive Producer, Tobias Gutzweiler. Executive Producer, Gene Squibb, Fred Heckinger. Co-Producer, Kat Barnett. Cast, Thelma, Gene Squibb, Daniel, Fred Heckinger, Ben, Richard Roundtree. Alan, Clark Gregg, Gail, Parker Posey, Harvey, Malcolm McDowell, Rochelle, Nicole Byer, Colin, Quinn Beswick, Allie, Coral Pena, Michael, Aiden Fisk, Mona, Bunny Levine. Home movie footage of the actual Thelma being driven in a car.
Look at all those bottoms of those trees. Look at how gnarled they are and that they live. Look at photographs of this. Is this unbelievable? It's unbelievable. Look at this. This thing is still living. Look.
This tree?
Yeah, look at it. It should be down on the ground. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
What spirit? Look.
Ah. A dedication for Thelma. Director of Photography, David Bolin. Production Designer, Brielle Hubert. Costume Designer, Amanda Wing Yi Lee. Editor, Josh Margolin. Composer, Nick Chuba. Casting Director, Jamie Ember. Sound Design, Nathan Rule. Music Supervisor, Simon Astle. Audio description created by Ayuno. Written and narrated by Sarah Borges. Copyright 2024, Team Thelma, LLC. All rights reserved. More credits scroll on screen.